Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Without the Wii technology, these folks would never be able to go to an alley and bowl. Neither one could lift a ball, let alone throw it down the lane.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
Whew, boys, I'm a little puffed. I'm a little spent from all that rigorous physical exercise we were doing just before recording. That's right, we had a threesome.
Yay!
It wasn't Switch Sports, it was sexual intercourse.
It's Ben Vanell here, I forgot to say my name.
And rounding out the trio, Adam Knox.
I'm Adam, I got a Wii remote up my ass, and we were playing Switch Sports a little before. There's a video of that available
in a couple of
soon
days
on YouTube. Go have a look at that. It was fun to do. It means that we're recording now with Ben's like coffee table and shit out of the way. We're all sitting in like a circle with nothing in between us, which makes it feel like, you know, when you like first move into a place and there's no furniture in there and you like your first night there, you're sitting there with like maybe one chair that you've been able to get in the right spot, right. Everything's empty and you're like, well, maybe this was a fucking mistake.
That's nice. That's the first place that your brain went. I feel like I'm in group therapy because you're also wearing a tracksuit as well. So it does feel like we've been let out of our cells for an hour to come and like really get to the root of why we've ended up in here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to recovery for double Fonzie impersonators. Welcome to
Double Fonzie.
Double Fonz.
I love impersonating.
Oh, no, I've relapsed.
Well, I thought you were going to say, Ben, that you were, you'd worked up a sweat from your little fingers clickety-clacking away onto Patreon.com and subscribing to this podcast where you can... And then you just... You're getting an extra podcast every week from us. You're just bloody exhausted getting mowed down with
content.
I don't know if this is the best way to present it. Like, do you want to be fucking tired?
Yeah, from laughing, those cheek muscles.
You look at all the back episodes and you're like, over 200, that's just exhausting.
I'm sweating here. My left arm's numb because I subscribed to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. I think is long URL. Yeah, go over there. There's a whole bunch of podcasts over there. And with those videos, like we're mentioning, you get, we're doing Filth Coaster World Planet at the moment. And you get that a week early.
Yep.
And you get a different podcast every week.
Yeah.
That's pretty good time. We're probably going to add stuff to there at some point.
Yep.
Who knows?
Yep.
You got to be in it to make it viable
you
for gotta us.
You got to be in it to win it. We're looking at some kind of a special pledge month coming up soon, which will expand upon if that comes to be. But yeah, if you go there now, it's you can donate any amount, of course.
I think you're set into the like 5-10 sort
you?
Of
the
thing.
Tiers.
Yeah, I don't think you can go like $3 one.
Okay.
Or with the Bandcamp you can. And people so often, I get an email for every time someone buys a Bandcamp episode, which thank you very much for doing, and they're available too. $1.69 is the most common amount.
Okay.
Some big spenders go $6.90, which is very appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, that's the joke. Like,
yeah.
Just going like, yeah, guess what, boys? The sex number, 169.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it has to be $69 or $6.90.
You guys ever done the 1 million? That's the funniest sex position there is. Oh, man.
But on there. Huge backlog of previous podcast episodes. So if you're looking for more from us, we talk about movies and TV shows, and sometimes we do episodes where we just kind of dick around.
Yeah.
But, go check that out.
We've done several series of decade in reviews.
Yep.
So we just go through, like, the sort of Oscar-nominated movies, the box office hits.
The big cultural moments.
Yeah.
That we relive.
Top 40... fucking Billboard.
Relive these times and give a little context, especially for the younger people. That might be cool. For the older people, you get to reminisce.
Yep.
For the middle people, You're fine.
You were
you
there.
Don't need
yeah,
it.
You're us. Yeah.
Everyone's listening to you. You're not old enough to not be taken seriously. Not young enough to not be taken seriously.
You don't
and you're
own
still
property, though.
Fucking it up somehow. Yeah.
Point being, get on there, subscribe to the Patreon, so that we can earn a bit more money, so that we can all keep our Apple Arcade subscriptions renewed for a wonderful little title that has just been announced. Oh. That's coming out called Warped Kart Racer.
Whoa. Okay.
Did you guys see this?
No.
I haven't seen Warped Kart Racer.
Okay.
It's good to hear, though, just from the name, that they're living up to that promise they made of here's the premium
surely
Apple
absolutely.
Gaming.
This is like going to feature like Mark Hoppus from Blink-182. Yep. And Dexter Holland for The Offspring.
No, so obviously it's a
Warped. I didn't understand it at first.
The Warped Tour.
Yeah.
You know that thing from when we were slightly younger?
Have you played Up and Smoke Racing?
There you go.
Now I understand.
It's a Mario Kart clone, and it's the latest in a string of kind of, we talked a little while ago about, I forget what it's called, but the Warner Brothers, Smash Brothers clone that's got
Disney,
Bugs Bunny fighting
Warner Brothers, that's
Batman
right.
and stuff like that. So it's it's the latest Warped. Of one of them. It's a, do you want to hazard a guess as to which properties are included
in Warped?
In Warped
if it's
Kart
not,
Racer.
If it's not the Warped Tour.
No.
So it is, but it is like it's Smash something. Brothers or Ready Player One or whatever. It is
it's
other
a,
things in this.
Yeah, it's a crossover under the, obviously under the one company that owns all the rights. But
I'm going to guess.
Many things coming together.
From the word Warped.
Yep.
And does that factor in?
I'll tell you this. At present, there's four different properties that have been announced.
Okay.
As being in this cartoon kart racer.
And they are Cow and Chicken, Dexter's Lab, it is Cartoon Network.
I've got
Am
a
I
guess.
Right?
I've got a guess.
No, I okay. believe that already exists.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That
makes it sense. Is Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mm-mm. Oh, okay. So it's not Adult Swim.
Which is also Cartoon Network.
But it's for the cool kids.
Yeah, it's cool to know.
Do you want me to give you the umbrella?
Narrow it down a little, yeah.
Okay, well, the very, very top umbrella, I suppose, would be Disney.
Okay.
But it's a sub-tier of that that Disney
that's
acquired.
That's every fucking second thing
I know,
now.
Yeah.
But that helps.
But Warped, Warped, you know what? It's a company that has a lot of Warped properties in their stable.
Whiz Fizz.
Oh, yes.
Oddbods.
Whiz Fizz. Oddbods. Pogs.
Ghost
little,
Drops.
Yeah. That little
Warheads.
Cunny that looks like Captain Caveman. Remember the little Pogs man?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Looks like Grug and Captain Caveman had a child.
It's not the MCU.
It's not the MCU.
That's, no.
That's not Warped. That's about as middle of the road is it? That's about as, you know.
Haven't you heard about the multiverse, Tommy?
Oh, I will be talking as the one person who likes Marvel yes. here. I'll be talking about Doctor Strange on that Patreon podcast we talked about. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Is it?
Fuck.
Oh,
can you narrow it down?
Narrow it down
a
little
more.
Give us that
Disney's
second
too big.
Give us all the right. second umbrella, which, if it were in real life, the second umbrella would be the less useful umbrella because the top umbrella would be doing all the work that the
second
umbrella
I mean, you could argue that the second umbrella doesn't even exist. True. Who's ever like, I've got this big brolly, but what I also need for extra protection, one of those little hats that has the umbrella sticking
could
out of the
like
top.
Could be like a champagne flute tower situation where it's kind of spreading out, smallest umbrella on
That's
top.
True.
And then
You're in a marquee, like you're outside in like a covered area of the cafe, but it's really not doing a good job.
Sure.
So you've
it's
still
coming
got the
down,
umbrella
got,
up.
It's coming in sideways.
What's that one?
20th Century Fox.
Okay.
Simpsons.
No.
Oh, Family Guy and shit.
Yes.
Oh. Seth MacFarlane's
Family
cartoon
Guy's one
universe.
Of them.
American Dad.
American Dad, number two.
Comedy
Cleveland.
Cavalcade.
I would have loved it if Cleveland was in separate. The mix as well. And you have to pick, do you want the Cleveland from Family Guy?
Right,
or do
right.
you want the Cleveland from the Cleveland Show? Because there's subtle differences between the two
so
of them.
So this is like
but
the Fox animated stable.
Bob's Burgers.
No.
Oh.
That would be good.
Yeah.
What else is on Fox?
One of them's genuinely great, and I wish the whole Kart Racer was just that property.
8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
And then the other one is like, I would be, you guys might not even know it. I've only ever seen it like come up on the like icon on Disney Plus as I'm scrolling. You know what? I've never heard of anyone watching it. I don't even, one of them's Solar Opposites.
Okay. Of opposite of Family Guy.
No. The show it's a cartoon show called Solar Opposites.
I've never heard
of
that.
Oh, what's that other one?
I thought you just mispronounced Polar.
I think it might be Justin Roiland's other cartoons.
Yeah.
Some fucking
okay,
alien
right.
family or some shit. Okay, so that's three of them. What do you think the fourth one is?
Steven Universe.
No.
Well, Rick and Morty.
No.
If Roiland, okay. So we got Seth. So they're all Fox. I don't know any other right, Fox animated ones other than Simpsons.
Here comes another clue.
Okay.
And it, again, this is almost impossible to get because it's like, it's a different okay. it's a different generation entirely.
Yeah.
That go-kart ain't right.
Oh, King what? Of the Hill?
Yeah, baby.
Jesus.
That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Hank so, Hill on the ride-on mower.
Yeah.
Getting wiped out by fucking Boomhauer. Quagmire's shooting a shell at you.
For a minute there.
Putting cum on the track.
As we were trying to guess these, I was sort of worried that we were, to use a karting metaphor, spinning our wheels.
Mm. Yes.
And now I realize that to guess King of the Hill at the end of that,
yeah.
it was all worth it. That exactly. was a race worth partaking
in.
Because it's so, I mean, it's like, yeah, the people who love Family Guy enough to want a kart race or a Family Guy probably don't even know what the fuck King of the Hill is.
No. One of the most warped television shows of all really time.
It's a completely different like tone, aesthetic. It's like a critique of the family in a way that is not...
Because you go on Family Guy and American Dad, you go on the Seth MacFarlane universe, then you got this bullshit alien solar opposites cartoon that like literally I've never heard of a single human being watching. But yeah, I wonder if... that's a weird four to have. If it's only those four...
Yes. Chuck in Rick and Morty.
Chuck in Rick and Morty.
No, don't. This is perfect. I'm looking
so
at
Chuck in Bob's Burgers.
Sure.
But I wish this was everything, or I wish it was literally just King of the Hill racing. You're just on ride-on mowers, racing around someone's backyard. That's the whole game.
Bobby's on like a clown car, and if you overtake Hank, then Hank goes faster because he gets mad.
I'm
on a propane and propane accessory fueled right on mower.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa! The cover of this being, Peter Griffin, American Dad, some green guy, and Hank Hill right up the back. They've made him small because they know he's not the draw card.
But he is the draw card.
Bobby's the fun one. Chuck him in there doing a big, you know.
Love this. All right, how is it?
Crazy.
Well, it's not out yet. They've only just announced it.
Oh, they're just hyping it up.
Yeah, they're just hyping it up. They're trying to. They're like, you know what? People are dropping off Apple Arcade like flies.
Well, I was going to say,
Tyson back in.
I've dropped off. We've lost enough patron subscribers that I can't afford Apple Arcade. Right. So we need people.
That's the drive.
Yeah,
he's on his ride on mower.
Oh, it comes up on the Apple Store now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at it right now.
You can honk a little pre-order.
I'm not able to play it right now, but expected 20th of May. That's what it says.
Okay.
But anything could happen. It's sure, just expected yeah, there.
So it must just be those four properties then.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Interesting.
What's that, like 2-3 weeks away?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, you'll have to come round.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I will.
I was excited for Elden Ring, but like genuinely this is...
Love to have this in our calendar, our future episodes.
Yeah. We got to do a video when it comes out, but we just pretend that it's just King of the Hill Racing.
Oh,
so we try and set up like, you know, you go in and if you can configure like which characters the CPU are playing.
Yes.
We forbid it from playing anyone but Boomhauer and Peggy and
Peggy.
Who's
Chuck
the daughter?
In one of the guys from Solar Opposites though.
Damn.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Thanks for having seen that, the big release of the week.
That's the hot news of the week.
Yeah.
Well,
we were sitting here before the air being like, hey, is there any news? And you guys were talking about this other stuff. And I was like, they haven't seen Warped Kart Races yet. I got a real ace up my sleeve here.
Well, yeah, speaking of a ton of different properties all being under the one banner.
Mm.
Bruce Banner.
Ben Banana.
Bruce Banner.
Banner Banana. Bruce Almighty.
Yep.
Square Enix has sold off like most of its, well, I guess all of its Western studios and their IPs that they have, which is like...
Except Just Cause.
So, but that's because that is a third-party one that Square Enix publishes.
Oh, right.
So Just Cause, and there's like a couple of others who I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But they will continue, like Life is Strange, the people who make
that's
that,
right. mm-hmm.
they will continue to be published by Square Enix, it seems, or will find a new thing. But they are not owned currently by Embracer Group, who is just like a big, I think, Swedish company, holdings company thing.
Okay.
They got a bunch of different video game bits and pieces under their banner, under their large umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They've got studios called like the Fjorgen and the, you know, like IKEA furniture names.
Yeah. You buy the game, but then you've got to build it yourself. You've got to code it.
Yeah. You develop it. You open the box up. There's just like a disc with some sprites on it.
Yeah.
And there's a second disc with some environments. You do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You fuck it up.
This one might need two people to develop. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Get fucked. As if I'm getting someone to help me build this cupboard.
I'm going
to
lean this against the wall. Exactly.
Who's ever done that? Who's ever called up their friend and gone, oh, I just bought a bed and it says that you got to have someone help you?
I mean, I'm sure that some people live with other people. But in our situations.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bothering them. I've been in that position and I'd sooner die than ask for help.
Yeah, that can destroy relationships.
If the thing falls off the wall while you're balancing it, you could die. Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, Legacy of Kain, all of those sorts of ones. A lot of them have been dormant for a while, such as Deus Ex, Thief, and Legacy of Kain. But all of those IPs are now owned by this holdings company. I believe already some developers have said, we're making the new Deus Ex.
Yes.
I'm not sure who that was, but someone said that.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard a whisper of that. It makes sense if you're acquiring these and you're just like sort of an umbrella company, you're going to want a return on investment. So, of course, make some more shit. Bring back fucking Legacy of Kain. That was a fun game.
Yeah, reboots and remakes and stuff as well, you know, they do well, usually.
It's the only thing that do.
It be the only thing that do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it
only do be like that.
Square Enix has sort of mishandled these for a long while too.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that. I don't know what it means for like the sort of Marvel partnership.
There's
something about that there. The Guardians of the Galaxy game did well, but undershot expectations. So that's and Avengers was fucked.
Yeah.
I wish there was more things like, you remember that story about how the guys who do this, who were in the Spinal Tap movie, how they had to like perform gigs every now and then because otherwise the license would would like lose the rights, and then the film, you know, the film company or whatever could do whatever they wanted. So they would just pop up every like 5 years and just do a gig that it's some weird clause. I kind of wish that happened. You know, how frustrating is it when there's like a game series that you loved and it's just sitting there? And whoever has the rights has no interest in doing it. There should be it should be a thing where more often it's just like it's up in the air, and someone who wants to do it can really take it and make something with it.
That'd be cool, but like the problem is as well that time passes and those people who develop those games move on to different things. You've got to go on to the next thing, and so the actual teams who made those games good are gone.
Oh, I'm not saying that the new versions would be any good.
True.
I'm just saying at least they'd come out.
I guess you were very clear about that.
Or someone else, right? Some other person involved at all should just, like, with the Sonic Mania,
some
right?
Some fans,
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the case with a lot of Nintendo titles.
I would love to see that pan out. It's just, like, with stuff like Deus Ex and Thief especially, it's kind of like, well, what are those games if not the people who made them at the time? Because Deus Ex was, like, you know, kind of cyberpunky game.
Yeah.
It was a cyberpunky game.
Yeah, but like
Punky Brewster.
A bunch of people have put their hands Brewster's on millions. That title on that series since then and haven't captured what that first game had, which was its design.
Yes. And
it's not just an aesthetic. It was like revolutionizing a first
human
person
revolutionizing
action game.
Mankind divided.
Human nature.
The Beastie Boys. So I meant Backstreet Boys.
That's good. The Beastie
Beast with
Boys.
Two backs.
My favorite boy band, the Beastie Boys.
Like Thief is just that's a stealth game.
Yeah.
Which there are a million
of
now.
But in the late 90s, it was like a revolutionary stealth game where, you know, there's like darkness, lightness sensors and, you know, proper
they
stealth.
Made that like 2013, 2014 Thief game and everyone was like, who gives a fucking shit? This isn't very good.
So, because like Dishonored exists and a million other things. Bioshock, like it moved on,
So it would be cool to see something good happen from these games, but yeah, I suppose the idea of someone getting their hands on these at this point is still just like, okay, well, it's a cool name and I'd love for someone to take what was good about the original ones of those things that were good and get it and make a new one. But obviously, you know, that is a harder order. And people get excited when they're like, oh, what if someone bought Metal Gear Solid off of Konami? And it's like, well, that wouldn't really matter because someone else doing it differently to
how
you should just look forward to a Hideo Kojima game, right?
Exactly. Death Stranding is Metal Gear Solid.
That team that would do that would take the Metal Gear Solid license and probably that you'd be better off just them making their own new original thing,
right?
That has, you know, is inspired that, yeah. by those elements, but right. has its own flair to it,
like ukulele.
Well,
it doesn't
yeah.
always work, but that yeah, also but was like crowdfunded.
But that's
stuff,
different too,
yeah.
because that's the original team trying to yes. do the same thing again. So totally, that's totally. Kind of like yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, it you know the value of these and the reason it was a $300 million acquisition is because they do also have around. Like more than 1,000 employees that they now are the bosses of.
Yeah, right.
But
God, I'd love to boss some people around.
I recognize
1,000 of them.
Oh man, oh. I wouldn't know what to fucking
get me
do.
1,000 coffees.
Each one of you, yeah. get me a coffee.
It's all I want. So
500 of you go and get 2 each. The other 500 of you, you're fired.
Take cool. a punt on what you think my order is, and everyone yes. who gets it wrong, you're sacked.
Oh wow,
oh, that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Like a battle royale.
Ah yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Armed with different coffees. Well, speaking of companies taking an older property and using perhaps the original team to make a new version, we just played a game together
mm-hmm.
by the name of Nintendo Switch Sports.
We yeah. sure did. Is that what it's called? It's called yes. Nintendo Switch Sports?
Yeah. Switch Sports,
I can never
Nintendo
remember in my
Switch
head
Sports?
If it's called Switch Sports Resort or something. No,
no.
That's okay. Yeah.
That was Wii Sports Resort.
Yes, okay. Yeah, yeah. Is this called Nintendo Switch Sports?
I believe so.
Switch Sports.
Yeah.
Switch
Sports. It's yeah. the new Wii Sports, though. I kind of yeah. wish they'd have called it Wii Sports 3.
Wii Sports 3?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Switch Sports. Yeah, it's Wii Sports. It's got 6 sports in it.
Yep.
Here they are from memory. Badminton.
Yep.
Bowling.
Yep.
And they're going to be from memory and in alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. Badminton, bowling, the sword one.
Yeah. Chambara?
Chambri? Jim Chambri.
You got tennis.
Yep.
You got...
You've gone ahead in the alphabet.
Yeah. They're no longer in alphabetical order.
Well, you were close. Badminton,
there's two more.
Badminton, yep. bowling, Chandler
soccer.
Bing. Yep. Yeah, football.
Football, thank you very much.
Football, tennis, and volleyball.
Volleyball.
You were really close to them being in order.
We yeah. just played it 20 minutes ago. Yeah. Like, there's yeah. no reason I shouldn't have had them all front of mind. I've got a terrible memory.
So it is, yeah, it is Wii Sports in the sense that the tennis and the bowling, for me personally, they feel how I remember them feeling originally mm-hmm. On the Wii. And then the other four sports are all different to this version.
Yes.
Golf is not in it yet, but will be added. And right. baseball is also not in it, and there's no word about whether that will be added
and
down the line.
Same with boxing. Boxing was
same
the other
boxing,
one. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
yes.
there's all those resort ones like hang gliding and shit.
Table yeah. tennis and stuff. Yeah.
But they've
yeah,
already
yeah.
said they're going to add a bit of stuff to it, so maybe all those ones will get added down the line.
I'm kind of mm-hmm. hopeful because the amount of time they spent supporting like ARMS and Mario Tennis and Mario yeah. Golf, which I don't think were particularly well, especially ARMS received.
Yeah.
But they do, that Nintendo have been weirdly good about long-term support for these like
yeah.
games that they're not charging money for often. Those are free updates.
You yeah. Right. So yeah. Often with these things, once they, you're right, if they, when they announce it, if they say that down the line they're going to be, you know, if they say like what the first little thing is that's coming in a couple of months,
right.
that often means there will be like, it's never just that one thing. It's quite often like a year's worth of like cosmetic stuff. Like I think they're still adding stuff to golf and
just right. all of a sudden there's a wiggler in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're just, why the fuck are they still working on that? But I would love for them to do that because this is a fun game. It's all motion control, same as the Wii one.
Yep.
You are swinging your Joy-Cons around to play these games, which works about as well and as poorly as you would expect. It's fine.
Yeah,
but it's certainly not, you don't feel any sense of control in the same way that you do with like VR things where your hands are
right.
represented in space.
Well, that was Wii Tennis back in the day as well, wasn't it? I mean, the Joy-Con they are more responsive and they are able to do more of a one-to-one job of like hand movement and stuff than the original Wii Remote was. But they have kept that thing from tennis, which was, you're just swinging. The whole thing was meant to be...
There's a lot of compensation.
Yeah.
For, yeah, yeah.
Anyone can get up, have this thing in their hands, just be wiggling their hand around and having a game that doesn't feel too one-sided over someone who's played it heaps and kind of knows all the techniques.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not controlling the movement of the player. And And yeah, same with the bowling.
Yep.
Is the same. You hold the trigger down, you move your arm, and it definitely, you can put some curve on it, and mm-hmm. it's, but it's still.
You can put some pepper on there.
Yeah.
You can put a little salt in there if you want, a little bit of paprika. Yeah.
Oh.
How about some sugar on that one?
Yeah.
A little bit of.
Oregano?
You could chuck some oregano on there.
Basil?
Yeah. Oh, maybe in like the next version of the Joy-Cons.
Allspice. Any of that going on?
Tommy Allspice.
Yeah.
You can chuck Old Spice on there.
Yep. Oh, you can if you want. Yeah.
And it feels pretty good. Like it's
the way we played it as well, by the way. I don't know if this was in the Wii version, but we played it all simultaneously.
Mm. Bowling.
Yeah.
I don't think that was in the Wii version.
Yeah.
There's also... Because, yeah, there are enough additions to this to make it feel like... It kind of does a really good job, I think, of kind of satisfying... you know, if you fondly remember Wii Sports and you want something like that on this console to be able to sort of have that kind of party game thing with, it does a good job of replicating that feeling while also adding enough kind of extra stuff and enough extra depth into some other stuff to make it feel a little less... Because Wii Sports was a pack-in. That's the issue. That came with the console, and this is an actual game that you have to go out and purchase.
A lower than full price game. It's like 60 Australian dollars, and I think that makes it like 40 US or something like that.
But it's got like online ranked modes and stuff like that. And then in the bowling, it's got, you can all bowl at once. And it's also got a thing that's pretty cool, which is a lane with obstacles in it.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen that
yet. And the obstacles are like randomly generated. So every frame of the match... A new thing will come up that's either like a, you know, things like a dip in the lane, kind of a, you know, like a moving platform or, you know, a mix of moving stuff, static obstacles that, is randomized and is changed every frame, which is kind of a cool, it's a neat addition for a party game thing. And again, it just means that there's no opportunity for any one person who owns the game or has played it a lot to... you know, have memorized them all and have their techniques. It's kind of, I think it's like a neat thing of kind of being able to keep it fresh and a bit different for if you want that sort of change to the, multiplayer of it.
Most of the sports have that too, where like with the, I keep wanting to call it kendo. It's not kendo, but it's the competitive fencing-ish thing, the sword one. There's different types of swords that you can use.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can use like double swords and stuff like that. There's the soccer... Which is my favorite one by some margin because it is basically Rocket League. I think I said it before. And it works quite well. And it's the one where you can sort of, that I think for me, at the same time has the best and the most frustrating implementation of the motion controls where you can kick to the right, to the left, and kind of up or down. So
a header.
Yeah, or you could do like a like jumping header, which also means you can kind of kick up and to the, like, off the ground and to the left and stuff like that. It just doesn't quite register as well as would be ideal.
Right.
Yeah.
You, it always feels like you're having to do the version of the motion that the controller wants you to do rather than doing the natural version of that motion. Yeah. Does that kind of make sense? It doesn't feel super accurate, but it works well enough that I think it actually feels pretty competitive almost.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it's a surprising addition because it's almost dense enough to be its own game. It's the thing that you can definitely see with, like I said, with all these, you can play like these ranked online matches. It's definitely the one of them that you can see yourself most getting into long term.
Which also means that it's the least party friendly one.
Of course, but again, they had to put something in there to make this not just a series of games where you're just swinging your wrist and it's not making much of a difference one way or another what you do. The fact that there's this one that, like, you have to use two Joy-Con for it and you're actually moving around the court with the stick, which isn't the case for most of the other ones. But also having badminton and volleyball in the mix. Volleyball especially is this kind of... It's got a lot to it. Like, it's not just, you know, flick your wrist when the ball gets near you. There's, like, different motions that you do for... bumping the shot, setting up a spike, blocking. Like, I really was enjoying when I was running through them all. Like, soccer and volleyball, I think, have just that little bit more depth to them than the original batch of sports Wii Sports had to them, that I think makes it a little bit more of a kind of a well-rounded package. Because I thought this was just going to feel really... hollow. Like, well, I thought it'd be cool to have tennis, but, you know.
It seemed like they had three versions of tennis in there initially, where they had tennis, badminton, and volleyball I didn't see how they would make them all as differentiated from each other as they are. Tennis and badminton are kind of similar, but there's a very different pace and a different way that you are swinging the thing.
Yes.
That feels distinct enough for them to be justified to both be in there, tennis and badminton. Then volleyball is...
volleyball, I feel, it's like, it has these different to tennis and football like moves, but it is this literally the same thing each time. Like it's bump, set, spike, and it's it's more staggered. Like it's not quite as fast paced. So I mean, I'm just not as into it. Maybe
I think it's a timing thing that takes a while to start feeling good. And I don't think I'm there yet. But it feels like there is a bit of depth to it, or like a medium amount. But I wouldn't say necessarily more or less than.
Maybe there is, but I think it's just not as fun for me.
Right.
Yeah, but
that's fair.
So also with the sword fighting one, it's a bit just like, if you bash away, you're probably going
to
win.
Yeah.
I think you could get to a point with that one where if you both know what you're doing, it could be really fun.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, it's basically rock, paper, scissors. You're doing a vertical attack beats a horizontal, beats a vertical block, horizontal beats vertical. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
diagonal beats the other. So I think if you had two people who had played it a bit, you could get to a point where that was quite fun. But it's against the computer especially, it's not the most fun one. Soccer, though, is great.
Yeah, it's
go
really,
in for soccer.
It does push you if you're a single player. It kind of does lean you a lot towards the playing online because that's the way that you earn the points to unlock all the cosmetic stuff.
Right. It is the top selection on the menu too. Like it's almost weird that this is its own... you could see maybe some... point in its development where maybe this was going to be like a pack-in with the extension, the Switch Online extension thing or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
It is very focused on online, and that's the other strange thing about this game is that it took 5 years of the Switch being out for it to exist. To me, that is like...
It is,
mind-boggling.
It's not complex enough to deserve that. Like, is just going like, okay, well, let's take Wii Sports and put it on the Switch. And like, sure, the backgrounds are more complex and shit like that.
Kind of,
But
it's
also
got a bit
need
more
to
of
be.
Like a kind of cohesive... It's got a bit more sort of art direction to it than Wii Sports, which Wii Sports' whole thing was... This console, you make your little custom avatar and then they're in the game and they're kind of done with the Miis, so they've
got proper 3D just models in here.
Yeah.
Little just characters
real supermodels.
Yeah.
Absolute hotties.
And it all takes place in this kind of shared little world, this little sports park that's got all the different arenas in it. All the aesthetics of that are nice. Like I really like all that. I like that when you're playing the games, there's music that's playing. But it sounds like it is coming out of a speaker like next to the court. Like it kind of sounds a bit tinny, like which I really like. I kind of wish that, like I know that they already have their own like Mario sports brands for like every individual sport. But I do wish there was something a bit more kind of Nintendo to it, even if it was just like all the other offshoot stuff that's not the Mario universe. If it was like... You know, you could unlock a little ROB robot kind of... You know, I think that all those kinds of touches would be a little bit nice because it's... The art direction's fine and it's very nice and it's pleasant, but it does look a little bit like Ubisoft-y kind of like free-to-play, like online avatar kind of game little bit.
It's the same as like how Wii Sports and like Miitopia and all those looks, where it looks weirdly like those kind of corporate training video, type of just quite bland. Like there's nothing offensive about it. In that way, but like,
in the
it's
way
not
that,
interesting, I don't think.
In the way that like Nintendo Land on the Wii U was like this kind of weird theme park where it was like all these sort of demented looking versions of their existing IPs, like something like that, I think could have been a bit cool.
I think so, but it also, it doesn't look like, not to go back, but the way that the Joy-Cons are being used too is no different. I mean, the technology is the same, but like how those initial Switch games used it. It just like, I don't know how it took them this long to do it. It's really weird. And it seems unfair to be like that detracts from the game because it doesn't detract from the actual thing that's there, but it has made me less interested in this.
Right.
It doesn't seem...
I was thinking about this morning and I feel like a big thing for them would have been that they got into a lot of problems with the Wii U with people thinking that it was just... It was like, is this a new... What is this? Is this a new thing? Is it the Wii? What is it? And so I think maybe they might have felt like if they had have done this early on, even though it, you know, might have gone well, that they were probably just going to fall into the same problem again. I also don't think it should have taken... I think there's a middle ground there where it should not have taken 5 years. But I think maybe if it had come along early on in the Switch before we knew it was going to be a success, would people have maybe thought... They're just doing this same pack-in thing again?
Right. Like, yeah, but then we would have known, and I would have been more keen... Well, I bought it day one.
Right.
Yeah.
For Breath of the Wild, but also, like, if they released Switch Sports instead of ARMS, I would have been a lot happier.
Well, instead of 1-2 Switch as well. Yeah. Yeah. Just like...
And, like, releasing it this late, it's like... Is this going to... Like, sure, there's going to be extended support for it, but when's the new console? Like, how... What...
It is.
It's so late. It's so late.
And again, it isn't detracted to the content of the game.
No, this is separate from the review of the game,
I guess. Just it's just a real world bizarre thing.
It feels very weird, but I think there's...
It's like Avatar 2. Right. It's fucking insane that they're like, oh, leaked stills from the Avatar 2 trailer. It's like, who gives a fucking shit, man?
Oh, they look like the characters from the first one.
It kind of makes me mad that they're making four more Avatars. Yeah. It's like, who do you fucking think I am?
Right.
Yeah. I've grown out of this. How dare you come to me with your blue cunts?
I mean, I do think that, I think from their point of view, they would have just been worried about that confusion again of people just thinking that they're doing the Wii again. But I think maybe like 18 months ago would have been the sweet spot for it to not feel like it's really coming out in like the dying gasp. But maybe...
Yeah.
Also, it seems like it would have been a relatively easy thing to develop. So it's just like looking at a gap and it's like, hey, what about if we just roll this out now?
Maybe.
This makes sense.
I don't know if I agree with the Wii thing, because they didn't move away from the motion control stuff because they had 1-2
that's
Switch and they had arms where you had to punch and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, they put so much effort into explaining its different nature as it was. Like, they really did. Like, that was a huge part of it. We went to the big media launch and it was all around the world. It was like, the Switch is different and it's a handheld. And it's, you know, like they clearly put heaps of time into making that differentiation.
It's funny as well how, like, people didn't understand that the Wii U was very different to the Wii. And then people also didn't understand how similar to the Wii U the Switch was.
Right. Like, it is. Yeah, it is so similar.
Yeah. Anyway,
but if you've got a Switch, if you had fun with Wii Sports back in the day,
it's a no-brainer.
You'll have fun with this. Yeah.
It's a good time. It probably, if you will never play it multiplayer, it becomes less appealing immediately. Yeah. Like doing it with other people and the how accessible it is one of the big positives of the game when you are playing it with other people. Like, again, you can get grandma, the nursing home is back on their feet as they play bowling balls, and all those stupid news stories will be could be back.
Yeah, yes.
But it also means that the games are less fun to play on your own because they are that
a kind bit of simpler. Yeah.
Well, I was traveling over the weekend while it came out, and just the playing a little bit of it in tabletop mode. It works. Right. It worked well. Just have it set up on the little stand there. Not super. All the sports are like kind of simple enough that you can kind of see what's going on, even on the smaller screen. Just playing solo, it's fun. It's the aesthetic of it's great.
Yeah.
Look of it's good.
And you can watch us play a little tournament of it.
Yeah.
Probably maybe tomorrow or the day after, depending on.
Hey, the way to find out is to subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell for notifications.
YouTube.com/filthycasuals. We somehow have that. We're the only ones who have it. go there. There's like hundreds of videos there.
Yep.
But there'll be a Switch Sports one very soon.
And speaking of the travel that I just undertook.
Yes.
I went to Tasmania, and thank you to the listener of this.
Oh, yeah.
Who gave me a little gift at the end of the show I was doing, kind of sidled up next to me and handed me a big cord.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, what is it? I genuinely thought it was a microphone lead. He was like, hey, I've got a gift for you. It's like, as if I don't have microphone leads.
I'd still appreciate, that's like socks where they break.
That's
and
true. Us, that's true. Very handy. I mean,
so why didn't you give Tommy a microphone lead, whoever this was?
Yeah. I really don't want to start a thing where I'm just being inundated with microphone leads everywhere.
I do.
Yeah, it was a this cord was like a guitar lead on one end, USB on the other, and then he kind of stuck a little USB stick onto that, and he was like, I think maybe you talked about this a while ago, Adam, or something very similar.
Well, this is Rocksmith. It's Rocksmith. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. I think that's specifically maybe why. Anyway, Rocksmith 2014 was on the USB, and he was like, plug this into your guitar, plug the other end into your computer. It's this game that is like Guitar Hero, but you use your actual real guitar, and it teaches you how to play the songs on the screen on your actual guitar. So
I have talked about this before, and it has always really interested me. I don't own a guitar,
right?
So it's not something, but like it seems like probably the best way to learn guitar,
right?
I think that I can imagine.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. So I played it for a bit last night. Which also a lot of faith goes into taking a USB stick from a stranger, plugging it into your computer, and then just copying over the whole folder and opening it. Like, as it was happening, I was like, honestly, if this fucks my computer,
you deserve it.
Fair play to him. Like, that's, he's gotten me fucking beautifully here. Like, I wouldn't.
Hacking
I
in person, like getting around the firewall by handing it to someone.
Yeah.
Physical hack.
Yeah.
I was like, I would be pretty annoyed, but I think how funny I found it would kind of override it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so basically the version that he's given me of it has all the all the DLC songs that are in it. I don't know if they're still adding stuff to it presently.
So I don't remember specifically, but I'm pretty sure that Rocksmith is dead
now,
that they, for whatever reason, aren't making a new one. I have like a vague memory of seeing some story about Rocksmith having unfortunately been fucked over by maybe licensing stuff or something like that, where like it's down from stores even possibly now.
I
don't remember the history of Rocksmith off the top of my head, but I think that is definitively the situation.
I believe it.
I would be surprised if there isn't some kind of mod. You know, I can imagine there being a thing where people are still kind of adding songs to this. But yeah, it's exactly that. Pretty huge list of songs on there. What was I playing last night? I was playing Hardest Button to Button by the White Stripes. I was playing a Them Crooked Vultures song. I was playing some Tom Petty. There's a huge mix. Mm. I think there's some Tool on there. There's a big mix of stuff from kind of across the decades and genres.
And it's just guitar.
It's guitar and bass.
Okay.
And it's rhythm and lead, so you can kind of pick in the main menu.
And you basically get given tabs, right? It's like Guitar Hero, but with basically a tab rolling along the screen.
Yeah, but the thing that's really cool about it is that you... Or cool, or I guess maybe annoying if you're a bit better. Oh, but you pick...
Interesting.
Yeah, it could be both.
Cool and annoying. Yeah. My ears are burning.
You pick at the start of the game kind of what you think your level is.
Okay.
And you... So it's not like the song has like a prescribed three different difficulty settings. You play it and you play it the first time at an incredibly easy pace, where you're playing like one note out of every 10 or whatever. And it gets a little more advanced every time you're playing the game, because it, in the default mode, you're not playing it as like a, you know, scored career mode kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing it to learn the song.
It's a learning tool.
It'll continually just kind of add little bits to the song every time you play it, and if it senses that you're not quite there yet, it'll kind of,
that's cool,
scale it back. And I think it even does it live on the fly, because I was playing one at one point and it was starting to chuck in a couple more notes, and then I missed one or two and I could kind of see them coming down the screen and they sort of disappeared as it sort of noticed me sort of like struggling with one bit in particular. So it does seem like it really, it learns how you're doing at it, and it is a tool to be able to put on for an hour, play the same songs again, you know, pick up more and more bit by bit as you're playing it. It's really fucking cool. And I think if you're just looking to get a guitar and like as a new thing, I definitely think it's probably the best way to learn how to play songs. Like, get yourself this chord and go, and you'll probably have to get yourself a dodgy version of the game now, but
yeah, I think you're gonna have to get sort of aftermarket everything at this
point,
because it was like a Ubisoft game. It came out in like 2011, the original version, and like at the peak of guitar mania, with games like that. And it is.
So you can't just walk into a shop and buy it, but if you just start a podcast and talk about playing music and
wait 7 years,
have a friend on the show who mentions this thing offhand, and then go to another part of the country and do a live show, and have a stranger come up to you and just thrust this cable into your hand.
Which, yep, thank you very much for doing that, because I'm going to go to Tommy's house and
like often on the other pod that I do, you'll talk about like you'll be like, oh, do they still sell bounties in supermarkets anymore? And then the next thing that you do, just 10 people come and just give you these big boxes of bounties. And it's like, that's very nice, but it's like, oh, well, now I'm just lugging chocolate. It's like the first, it's kind of one of the first like things that someone's given me after a show. It's like, oh, this is an actual gift in the sense that it's like, this is a nice present that someone's given me. That's like, wow, you've absolutely nailed something that I
really cool.
want in my house, but that I probably never would have gotten around to doing the legwork of the hunting out
gift.
The cable and
the
program
gift.
And everything. Yeah.
They know you better than your parents.
They actually do.
Yeah.
Which genuinely, the last present my parents gave me was socks. So
yeah,
socks are fucking great.
Socks are good.
I need more. So if anybody,
got some live shows coming up.
No, don't give me socks.
Actually, let me quickly plug. I'm in Sydney this weekend, May 7 and 8 at the Enmore Theatre. Come and see my solo show, Turtle Island.
Very good show.
And look, if you're coming down, bring me some socks for Adam.
Yeah, what do I need? I don't know.
I'm sorted for gifts. I got everything I need. So if you're coming down, I'd love
just
to see you
of
there.
Wine.
Bring me a bottle of wine for Ben and socks for Adam.
I'm going to look up maybe
a funny hat. A hat with a funny logo on it.
A funny logo hat.
That's what I like.
But SydneyComedyFestival.com.au is where you can get tickets to that.
The gift you can give yourself is the gift of content over at patreon.com/filthycasualistpod.
I gave myself a gift in the sense that I subscribed to Game Pass and played a game from it.
Okay.
Which is the first time I've done in a while, it feels like. Dipped back in on Game Pass, really had a look at what's on there.
It is nice when you don't look at it for a little bit and you're like, oh, wow, there's
King of the Hill Racing.
On it. Is it cake? No, I'm thinking of Netflix.
But I played a game in one sitting, and it was like a 4.5 hour sitting, called Far Changing Tides, and it is the sequel to a game that's apparently quite similar. It's described as a vehicular adventure game, and it basically looks like a Limbo or an Inside. It's a side-scrolling puzzle platformer with this vehicle twist on it, which you've played a bit of it, Tommy. Have you got up to the vehicle yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I probably played about 90 minutes. I've been on the vehicle for a fair bit now.
What's the first one called? I'm struggling to remember.
Lone Sails.
Far Lone Sails.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is a land-based sail-propelled vehicle.
That rings a bell now, because I think you... Anyway,
and this one...
I like this game, but I have to say they are both terrible titles.
Yeah, I agree.
Very easy to ignore on a store or a Game Pass, because it's like, what's that?
It's generic indie game title, which is a shame, because it's not a generic indie game. Like, and so, yes, the first one was the land-based vehicle with sails. This one is a ship with, like, an engine, sails, and some other stuff that, you know, it gets attached and configured. There's a hull, but there's other there's other sort of complications as you go along, which there's no rudder.
Yeah. Wheels.
That's a complication.
I won't say what if there are or aren't wheels.
Interesting.
Because as it evolves, so at the very start it's just a side-scrolling puzzle platform.
I thought it was just going to be inside for
a bit of jumping and swimming.
Entirety of the game,
which was different enough. I was like, oh, underwater puzzles and shit, you know, and it's not difficult.
No.
But then, you get this vehicle and you start to have to figure out, like, okay, well, there's the wind sock or the wind flag, so put the sails up now and that'll. Oh, but then the flag is slightly turning, so you rotate the sails and you're, like, just have one character who's having to sort of run around and manage all of this.
Right.
And it's not a spoiler, but you get an engine at some point.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, how does the engine get... Oh, you need to gather shit up and throw it in the furnace and jump
like,
on the bellows and...
You'll crash into a... You'll hit like a wall or something, but then there's like a little platform above you now that you can hop onto. So you're in a structure and you have to kind of run around and work out how to do something in there in order to bring that wall up so that you can continue on. So there's a bit of like combination of... managing the stuff within the boat and then also the hopping out and kind of getting obstacles out of the way and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's not super, super long. I had a great time playing it in one sitting. I just could not step away from it. I was so... just loved the progression of it. It's very...
Is it like dialogue-less is kind of what I'm imagining?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
It's the way Inside was sort of like creepy, this is calm. Like it's a similar... Right. It's like quiet... calming music.
So it's, you're not fixing like terrifying problems on your boat with like a
no.
Like Christopher Walken throws Natalie Wood off the edge of it, and you've got to cover it up forever.
It was Robert. What's his name? Robert Wagner.
I get the impression that you can't die in it. If you're doing something wrong with the boat, it's not like it's gonna, you know, blow up and you're going to have to go back to a checkpoint. It'll just kind of like stop moving. So the stakes are very, very low in that sense.
It's more about being able to progress through this world and the variations of landscape and not story, but just sort of, you know, what's going on, right. I guess. It is more about, yeah, being able to go forwards. But there is some environmental storytelling as you get into it. But like the whole vibe is just like it's chilled out. But you still are feeling so satisfied when you like get all these systems going at the same time, and you're going forwards, and you're like, "Oh fuck, I'm burning across this ocean." Yep. You know, like it's
cool.
It was a fantastic experience. I the previous one isn't on Game Pass, but it is still available to buy. It's on Steam and all that shit for like $20. Maybe I'll go back to it, but I just loved this one. I just thought it was a fantastic experience.
I always wish I'd done Inside in one sitting because it's right. But this even more so because it's in Inside you can die, and so it's kind of it's breaking the illusion of that one shot thing by kind of resetting you. But this, yeah, definitely very easy to just because there's no point where you're like, you're not going to get stuck, you're not going to die and be like, have that happen a few times in a row and have the impetus to kind of walk away from it and take a break. It is very easy to just, do the whole, because it's completely unbroken.
Yes.
All in one shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That sounds cool. I want to find some time for this. I think I would just broken mentally need to do the first one first. They're probably nothing to do with each other, like story-wise or whatever.
I think there's some sort of link.
Okay.
Because the story is so vague. It is basically, but it's also in the sense of like, well, this is a character going on a journey.
Yeah.
So there's story built into that, I guess.
Okay.
That doesn't it's just like you fall from the sky and then you land in the water and then you're swimming through. And
that's the thing, because I bet the end of the first one is you fall off of something down the sky. So I need to know where I fell off of.
Maybe. You need to play Far... what is it?
Lone Sails
and Low Tide?
Changing Tide, I think.
Yeah. What about this? Fart Changing Tide. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What about that as an idea? Okay. You do something with
shark changing underwear.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. What about I don't have any other than fart. I got tired playing Wii Sports.
Switch me
sports.
Too.
Yeah. It was a little warm in here. But yes, so Fart Changing Tide, I big recommend.
Yep.
It only came out like a month ago. It's already up there in my top games of the year for sure.
Cool. I love a single sitting game.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Something so satisfying about it. I don't know if I ever talked about playing A Short Hike on here. You guys talked about it a fair while ago.
Right, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. It was ages ago that I played it now, but just that one sitting thing reminded me of just games like that you designed to be just chewed through in a pleasant way.
You feel the ups and downs of the atmosphere and the vibe, and you know the score is meant to, you know, take you on a journey, and but locking into that is a great way to experience
especially when it's like a vibe focused game like this sounds. It's such a key part of it to be sunk in like that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully not sinking if you're on the bottom.
A Short Hike was one that I knocked off really quickly because it is a very short experience.
Yeah.
But it was like deep, deep lockdown here where it was like, was this short or have I just completely lost? Like this could have been a 10-15 hour for all I know. It feels like I've just bashed it out in an afternoon, but I have no idea. All time is meaningless.
Mm.
It's and like middle of winter lockdown, it's like it's dark all the time anyway. I don't know what's going on with the clock.
I'll tell you what. A Short Hike, great title.
Yeah.
Memorable. Yeah. What about A Short Hike, Changing Underwear?
Great.
Yeah, that's actually more compelling.
Yeah.
That makes A Short Hike sound like such a dull title.
Yeah.
But a short hike,
Changing Underwear.
Yeah. So it's like a walking simulator and you shit your pants and then you're like seeing people kind of off in the distance and you're like, I'm going to have to either make the decision to go into the bushes and somehow clean myself up, or sort of sneak around these people and just hope that they don't notice that I stink of
at
shit.
The end of it is like, oh, your mum used to shart when you were a kid or something, so it's all beautiful.
But you get given like a brand new clean pair of underwear.
Yeah, you sharted into her ashes and you got to take them to the top of a pier or whatever and put them in the ocean.
Sharted in mum's ashes.
Oh, Dad, I've sharted in mum's ashes.
Cool. That sounds like a fun game. Far Thingo.
Yeah, Far Thingo.
It's at the top of Game Pass. Get on there.
Yeah, been playing a bit of Bloodborne after, you know, enjoying my Elden Ring experience, and I am loving it. I just get it now. It's so different.
I don't know what it is about those things where it just needs to click for you.
Yeah, and I tried the Demon's Souls remaster, and it was, I think, still too difficult.
Okay.
But yeah, Bloodborne, it's a little bit more recent in its game mechanic design.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm going to probably play the whole thing.
If you go Dark Souls 1 after this,
right,
then maybe 2, then 3, and then back to Demon's Souls, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. But man, I'm enjoying it. And Sekiro, I've been dipping in as well.
If
I
could club just the right angle on my head, just whack myself exactly the right way.
I got a club over here.
be able to have that, go back into those for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're playing that now, because hopefully that means they'll put a remaster out soon.
Yeah.
Man, what a fucking game Bloodborne is.
Yeah. You guys been playing anything else?
I've had barely any time for games. Life starts coming, and I tell you what, I don't know if I'm the first to say this or not, but life starts coming and it don't stop coming.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
sometimes
life starts coming and then you shart.
There's a bunch of stuff I want to play by next week. If someone wants to do like a little book club with me, here are the things I'm going to try and play. I nearly played Rogue Legacy 2, but there's a Rogue Legacy 1. So you got to play Rogue Legacy 1 before Rogue Legacy 2.
You only have to play it like for 5 minutes.
Just do one run of it. I'm looking forward to that. There's a game called Norco that I believe you've played a little bit of. A
little bit, yes.
That I've seen compared to Kentucky Route Zero, which meant I instantly bought it, didn't have enough time to play it, and then found out it was on Game Pass.
So
I even think I went over and fucking checked, and I must have forgotten how to spell it or something.
Oh, there's another game that I started playing that I liked a lot more on Game Pass. I think it's called like Chinatown
Detective Agency.
Yeah. Which I like that. It is also like a very retro adventure game style. But I was enjoying that as a much more of a detective sim thing.
Okay, because I was gonna ask, it doesn't sound like you're that hot on Norco.
It might have been a mood thing.
Okay.
Who knows,
because that's I'm gonna give that one a go.
Give it a crank.
And then Trek to Yumi is out
today's podcast time, so I'm
looking forward to playing that.
Yeah, me too. That'll be my game for next week, I reckon.
Yeah
There's some stuff coming out. And then it's a pretty quiet fucking year.
Yeah. Yeah, we might have to come up with some more little one-off ideas and stuff.
Maybe, communicate with us. You're a listener to this. It's just as much yours as it is ours.
Well. podcast at filthycasuals.com.au is our email address. And, of course, we have all the socials. Hit us up with what you've been playing or what you think we should play from the past.
Yeah, exactly.
And head over to patreon.com/filthycasualspod to get things about the movies and music and stuff. And those podcasts like
we did a big all-in spoiler review of Everything Everywhere All at Once a couple of weeks ago.
The Doc, as I call him. Doc
Strange. Yeah.
I'm so glad that we're able to order tickets to movies online now, because I don't know if I would have it in me. I think I'm still embarrassed enough about who I am to be able to walk up to somebody at a counter and say, "One ticket for Doctor Strange, please." I mean, Multiverse of Madness.
Isn't it crazy that the way the human brain works, that in spite of being the most popular and profitable kind of franchise thing, possibly ever in any medium, you can still have that impact. Like, other people should be... one ticket for Everything Everywhere All at Once. That should be the embarrassing one.
It is still embarrassing for me. Yeah. I can't watch any movie. Well, one ticket for Rango.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't be going to see Rango.
It's back in cinemas now.
I proudly bought a ticket for The Northman. There's nothing embarrassing
there
about
that
name.
That's
so
good.
I'll be talking about that.
Yep.
But it's going to see the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Where there's like a whole bunch of different versions of the same character. It'd be like for you walking into that audience. It'd be like, oh, a bunch of other hefty bearded men. Is this all the different multiverse versions of me? Is that what I've done?
I do have a hefty beard. I have a hefty beard. That's true.
But also, you shouldn't feel like, guys in their 30s is the audience.
I'm not saying that it's a good thing that I feel it. Okay. I'm very aware that I need to pay someone to fix this.
I've just done therapy on you, so tick, that's fixed.
You shouldn't. Oh, thank you. That's actually really helped.
Cheer up. Yeah.
Well, check out all that stuff. And we've also got, of course, the YouTube channel. Tons of videos on there. Check all of that out. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
spare.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.